Hello, everybody. It's me, Squeaky. Welcome back to Matt's Trucking Great Podcast. This is part two of an interview with Matt Ireland himself. Firstly, how are we, mate? You okay?
Yeah, very good, mate. Yeah, looking forward to this. See what other memories we can bring up.
Can you remember our last discussion and where we finished with the 7.5 ton and you being in France and all that sort of stuff?
Yes, I did the Swiss story. Yeah, I think I can't remember if I mentioned. I did a Cologne in Germany. That's my first ever time in Germany. I took some magnetic paint once to France. And if people don't know, if you've got ADR on in France, you have to run at 80 km, 50 mph. That's just one of their rules. So there right. I was. There I was in my rocket machine, having to sit at 50 mph and having everyone come past me, getting more and more frustrated as the miles went long. But I'll tell you, as soon as that paint was off and then boards were turned round, that was, boom, I was gone. I was re-overtaking everyone who'd blown me, come past me, I can tell you.
Oh, great. What age was you at this stage now, when you're in the 7.5 and you're doing the European stuff? What age are you at this point?
I would have been sort of between 18 and 19.
Wow, so that's still quite, that's young, isn't it, for doing European?
When I was going to Switzerland in my 7.5 tonner, my mates were at school in sixth form.
That's crazy, isn't it?
That was nuts, absolutely nuts. Yeah,
I never even thought of that. That's crazy. Yeah. So, what age did you pass? We will go back. We'll go backwards to how you got your class one and stuff like that. But at what age did you pass your class one?
Right. So. For reasons I still don't quite understand, I left. I think about this today. I left Camax and I went tyre fitting at a company called Fram Tyres, who I'm still really good friends with, and pop over there quite often, go and see him and have a cup of tea and whatnot. I mean, as it happens, it turned out to work in my favour because I worked with a guy called Mark Lewis, or Mini, as he's called. Now, he left and went to work for Trans Am Trucking. In the yard, so there was a definite link there. Now, during this time, I went down to the Run to the Sun Volkswagen Festival. Well, it's not really a car show, whatever you want to call it, in Cornwall.
Right.
And on the way back up, so I would have been, I think I must have been 21 at this point. On the way back up, I thought I'm just going to pop in and pop in the Camax yard, see who's about, because I haven't seen anybody for since I left. Yeah, so I dropped in. There's a few people about, had a good old chat and whatnot. And I saw Jim, the boss. And, and the problem with jobs like tyre fit and stuff like that, you get so used to earning quite a lot of money as a truck driver because we do a lot of hours, don't we? There's no getting around it. So obviously I took a big sort of pay cut, essentially, going tyre fitting. And I had to work every single Saturday morning, which used to do my head in. So anyway, I was chatting away with Jim, and he then phoned me the following week. And he said, right, he said, I've had a think. Would you like to come back? If you do, I'll put you through your Class C and your Class C and E. And I was like, well, there's an offer I can't refuse, can I?
Who in the right mind is going to turn that down?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, that's that. So, yeah, I hand him a notice in, straight back to Camax, into training for Category C. So I did my Cat C when I was 21. Mm. I was intensive course, passed that. And I got given the keys to a DAF 75 rigid 17-tonner. And I loved that thing. That was so lovely. I think it had an 8-speed box. And it was just nice and quiet, comfy, big DAF bunk and all that. And I just loved that truck. And then after, I don't know, 6 or 7 months, might have been a bit longer, they said, right, you're going to have to get your stuff out of that because we're selling that truck. And you're going to have one of the P-Cab Scanias. And I was, honestly, I nearly start crying. So I loved my DAF. And I didn't want a P-Cab Scania because they're so much smaller than my DAF.
And I was
just like, oh, God. So there's a 4x2 and a 6x2. And I can't remember how the wages work, but basically I'll be on more money with the 6x2. So I took that.
The bigger the truck, the more money, essentially.
I can't quite remember how we were paid exactly, but that's sort of how it worked. And I honestly hated this thing. I just did not like it. And for some reason, obviously it didn't have cruise control. You put your foot down and you get to 56 and then it would sort of cut it off. But you drift back to about 53 before the throttle kicked back in. So trying to get past it, Run it past her. I'm going to be like, bah-muh. Oh, it's just like, what on earth is going on here?
You have to keep checking your foot on and off the accelerator to sort of get it back up to 56 again.
Oh, it used to annoy the people behind me trying to get past stuff as well,
Yeah,
because
I
it
can
was just like,
imagine.
it's not my fault.
Yeah.
And then, when I was 22, I'd been back about a year. He then put me through my C plus E, which I passed first time. I've got three minor faults.
Oh.
One was for having the incorrect lights on. And the reason for that is it was July time. It was chucking down with rain, and I couldn't see whether the dashboard lights were on or not at all. So I wasn't sure if the lights were
Right.
on. So I was sort of fiddling with the light switch, and the examiner said, what are you doing? So I can't see if my lights are on or not. And he said, well, what have you got on? And I said, side lights. And he said, well, what should you have on? And it's like, well, dip beam. So he gave me a minor. I was like, well, that's a bit harsh. And my cup. So when we're driving round, little story, let's say it's July, it's chucking down with rain. Because it's July, I don't have my coat because I didn't think I'd need it. So anyway, as we're driving around, I said to the examiner, I said, I really hope this stops before we get back because I don't want to be like a drowned rat doing my couple uncouple. Because for some reason, you did that after you've done the forward driving.
All right.
I did the reverse test, then went out on the road, and then when we come back, do the couple uncouple. I've no idea why it's done that way around. Anyway. We come. My test route was the easiest test route in the world. If people know it, where the test centre is, or maybe was in Chelmsford on an industrial estate, you come out and then basically a couple of roundabouts, and then you've got the old A12 out past Roses Caff. So down the old dual carriageway to the A12, all the way down the A12 to the M25 junction, come off
Yeah.
there, back through Brentwood to do like your town work, like uphill, downhill start,
I see. Yeah.
Gear exercise because you had to do that as well, starting first and work your way up to fifth or whatever and back down again.
Yeah.
And then back on the A12, all the way back up past the CAF. Also, I spent most of my time on dual carriageway. It was brilliant.
Brilliant.
So, anyway, we pulled back in the test centre and the examiner turned round. And the very first word I heard was unfortunately. I was like, oh, what? I've blown it. Anyway, unfortunately, it's now time to be like a drowned rat because I do my couple uncouple and just like, oh, flipping
Oh, thank God
egg.
for that.
My instructor lent me his coat, and I can't remember what I did, but I'd done something in the order that he didn't want to see it done. I think I took the lines off and then put the ha as a ratchet handbrake as well, and then put the handbrake on.
Yeah.
I think I did it that way round. I hadn't pulled the pin or anything like that, and he gave me a minor. And I remember afterwards, my instructor going over and arguing with him, saying, "Why'd you give him a minor? There's nothing wrong with it, because the pin wasn't pulled, it couldn't go anywhere." And he's basically like, "Well,
Yeah.
I'm the man with the clipboard, and that's that." And I think I got a minor on. I can't remember what the other minor is. I've still got my test sheet somewhere. I kept it, and that was it. I was away, C&E, over the moon. I got back to Camax, like, I've passed, like, brilliant, right? You know what truck you're having. And I was having the newest Artic in the fleet because no one else wanted it. There was only,
Why?
I don't, I was thinking about this as earlier as well. So Ali had a Eurocab Merc. So that was ginormous, left-hand drive. Gert had a left-hand drive 4x2 113 top line. And then there was a couple of other 3 series top lines. And
Yeah.
I was just having a flat roof 4 series, 420, and nobody wanted it.
Right.
And I didn't care, and they were all happy for me to have it because none of them wanted it.
Yeah.
And
That's
so,
it's a brand new truck. Who's not
well,
gonna?
yeah, I mean, it wasn't brand new, it's second hand, but
Right.
it was the newest one on the fleet,
Yeah.
T810 JBJ. So it's registration. New to a guy, an owner driver called Richard Driver from around this way. And
His name was what? Sorry.
his name was Richard Driver, this owner operator,
And he was an owner-operator.
owner operator, Richard Driver. Yeah.
What a name.
I
This guy
know.
was born for that job.
Definitely. And
That.
so yeah, they're like, right, you can go and load at Sudbury. Keith, the forklift driver, will go with you just to, as you haven't done anything. And obviously, I've
Yeah.
learned in a 30-foot flatbed with windows in the back of the cab. Now I'm in a full size one. So
Yeah.
off we went and loaded, come back. And Keith said, no, that's really good. He said, because I am a really nervous passenger. And I didn't feel nervous for you. He was like, oh, thank God for that. So. And away we went. So off we went on the Arctics. Unfortunately, by this time, as what happens in the world, I can't remember what happened to train. I think they got bought out. And then a company called Edwards Logistics started doing their European work, who were then bought out by Willie Betts. So basically, all of Camac's European work had gone by the time I got into my Arctic. So
Right.
there was just none of it about, unfortunately. But I was just happy trucking along. I used to do quite a bit of dock work. I used to do a fair bit for Norfolk Line if air work had gone quiet. But it used to annoy me because they would just get you up to Immingham as quick as they could and then just do day work out of Immingham. So I just wasn't getting the hours in. I was getting a night,
Yeah.
I'll get a night out because I'm up there, but it just like run across like Mac, tip Manchester, reload Bradford back to Immingham and park up. Just like,
Yeah.
it's just like, well, it's work's work. And it's just, but I used to make more money off selling straps because there's always heaps of them in there. And
Yeah.
they would always say there's one strap in the train. There'd be about 11. So, right, there's 10 for me and one for the trainer. Let me show.
Yeah. Yeah, and people that
as you
still
do.
goes on today. That still goes on today.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
I don't know why there's such a shortage of straps. I
I've no
don't.
idea. No idea.
Where are they? Where do they all go?
I haven't
Oh
got
man.
a
So
clue. So,
did you eventually move on to European work in a class one as well then?
yes. So after I've been driving there a couple of years on C&E, a couple of years roughly. And again, my mates at Fram Tyres, we used to do all the tyres for a company called Tannet and Transport, who are still going. There was a guy in the office there who got the sack not long after I started. He used to get European work just because he couldn't be bothered to look for more stuff for them to do. So
Right.
he put him on Mike Beer, and I don't think it's paying particularly well. So anyway, now this job came with a house. So I was like, right, well, this is, I know Jim put me through my licenses and all that, but an opportunity to get a tied house with a truck driving job is pretty few and far between, really, I would say.
I wouldn't say I've heard of that before, to be
No.
fair.
So I went out a chat, and this chap in the office, as I said about European work, said, yeah, we're doing that. And like the week before, someone had been down to Tours, I think, and someone else had been somewhere else. I was like, oh, brilliant, right, well, here's my chance to get some European work.
Yeah.
So I very sadly left Camax to go to work for Tannatons, and I got out my T Reg 124, and I got into a S Reg ERF EC 11, and I looked around and I thought, what on earth have I done here? Oh my
No.
God. So had to learn the ways of dog
Sorry.
haulage. Yeah, go on.
Can you describe that cab for people at the inside? So it What was there a lump in the middle of the bunk, the height of the cab?
A lump in the middle. I don't think you could climb over it so high.
Yeah.
I used to hit my knuckles on the dashboard changing gear. I think it was a fuller gearbox. Yeah, you should hit your knuckles on the dashboard. It had white curtains. Now, who on earth thought putting white curtains in the truck was a good idea? So I'd pull the curtains at night for a night out, and it'd be lighter inside than what it was outside. I didn't have that for too long because they bought some DAFs. And they gave one to a guy who didn't want nights out. And it came to a head when he was meant to go to Weston-super-Mare and he phoned in sick the next day because he didn't want to do it, basically. So they said, right, well, you're out of that truck. They offered it to someone else who actually turned it down because he wanted a brand new one and not one that was about 6 months old, even though it was absolutely immaculate. So they said to me, do you want this DAF? I was like, God, yeah, put me in it. So, finally back into a DAF. And then, I mean, at this point, I knew that all the European work was clearly gone.
Yeah.
And so in 2006, I had a chat with my mate Min, who I used to work for Fram Tyres, about maybe getting a job at Trans Am. He sort of told me the best sort of time to ring them at the time. So I gave him a ring in about April time, something like that, give or take, because I'm local. They said, oh, yeah, if you pass in the office, pop in for a chat. So I said, all right.
Yeah.
So I went up the office when I had a day off for whatever reason, went and had a chat and got on really well with them. And Timmy, who's still there, he said, yeah, we can give you something to do. He said, right, that's either going to be Elton John or the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I was like, yeah, no problem. I said, to be honest, if I can do the Chili Peppers, that'd be brilliant because they were playing Ipswich that year. And a load of my mates had tickets. I said, that would piss them right off if I'm on it getting paid. He laughed his head off and he said, right, you're on the Chili Peppers. I was like, way, brilliant. So, yeah, 2006, I think it was June, off I went on the Red Hot Chili Peppers. That was 3 weeks in Europe. And then came back. There's a, I think it was about 10 days or 2 weeks gap in between, but they asked for volunteers to go and do about a week on Guns N' Roses. So, because I'm really keen, I was like, yep, I'll go and do that. That was just a few shows in the UK. Back on the Chili Peppers for 3 weeks around the UK, and then it sort of went quiet because when you how it used to work, you'd get the start in the summer when it's really, really busy, and then as the work tails off, because I was in a rental, so to start with, I did 3 weeks away in a Mercedes Axel to begin with. Which definitely not the most ideal truck for it,
No.
but when you rent a 4x2 tractor unit, people just have those axles, Volvo FMs, that's just what people.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything. I mean, luckily for the second leg, I got a DAF XF rental. I was the only one with it. Everyone else had
Well,
Mercs
that's
again.
a small improvement.
Oh yeah, a big improvement on an
Well,
axle.
when you did the tours and stuff like that, then what was the job role? What did that consist of? Did you get to meet any people, any famous people on that job?
So you did over time, yeah. So you're there obviously primarily as a driver. You are, it's weird because you're expected to load it or help load and unload, even though there's crew there that will help or assist in doing it. So, but if you're working with
Yeah.
Americans have got a very different work ethic because of the drivers in America don't get involved whatsoever. They literally turn up. I don't think they even open the back doors. They're not allowed. They just do nothing. So the Americans quite often wouldn't want you helping. And she's like, no, I want to get this. No. And so I end up doing a lot of work with you too. And they used to tell me off for trying to help getting the gear in and out.
Oh, really?
And I kid you not, Terry Lawless, he's an unnamed musician in U2 because I used to do their backline, which is, if people don't know what backline is, that's all their own instruments and amps and stuff like that, the bits that are on the stage.
Yeah.
Terry plays keyboard like on out of sight for U2, and he's there loading my truck, and he's like, you get out of here, Matt. It's like, yeah, but I've got to help. He's like, if you get injured, who's going to drive the truck? And I was like, Terry, if you get injured, who's going to play keyboard? Because I can't do that. But that's just that was their work ethic. So you just sort of you just get stuck in, really. You
Can you
can.
imagine that? Can you imagine like going to an Aldi distribution center now and so just sort of like pulling up and going, well, no, I don't touch. I'm just going to sit here. You need to do
Yeah, that's it.
that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, yeah, the whole different mindset. It's crazy. So you do sometimes you get to meet some of them. It's more the ones that are the smaller tours that you're
Yeah.
likely to see. You see, like Elton John would come in quite late on, generally go to his dressing room, go out on stage, and he's gone. You never, I never, never met,
Yeah.
net like for argument's sake, never met him. Whereas like Sting, he's a brilliant bloke. He would come and sit in catering with you, have a chat with you. I had a very surreal conversation with Sting on stage during his sound check about hair clippers, as you do.
Wow.
I just
So
I
we
gone
need
to
to hear that what
well I gone to see, I think it's Dano, his guitar tech, for whatever reason, and I've gone in and they're on stage pottering around doing whatever, and I see Seth, the stage manager. I said, oh, I'm looking for Dano. Oh, he's up on stage. Oh, all right, I'll wait. He said, no, just go up there. And I was thinking, oh, I don't really want to, I feel a bit awkward. So anyway, I got up on stage and
yeah.
Sting saw me. He went, oh, you've cut your hair. I was like, yeah, because that has obviously got a bit long, even though I've got a crew cut. He's oh, what clippers you use? I said, oh, I've just got these Remington ones, whatever. And he said, oh, because, and at the time he had like one of these ball, like shaver, not as in your balls, but
Yeah,
like a
I know what you mean.
round head shaver, which
Yeah.
costs an absolute fortune. He's like, oh, I'll use this one and blah. And I was just sort of stood there thinking, what on earth am I having a conversation with Sting about blooming razors? It's
Shaving your
very,
balls.
yeah, shave your balls. It's very, yeah, very surreal. And then it's just like, yeah, it's like, yeah, I better get on. Yeah,
That's crazy.
he was, and his tours were fantastic. Such a good little crew. And the destinations where you went were just what I wanted to do. They were fantastic. And Bill Bailey as well. He was amazing. Really lovely guy. Obviously, just around the UK with Bill. But
Yeah.
again, another small crew. Only four or five of them. Just
I
fantastic
bet
fun.
the smaller the sort of like the crew and the production and things like that, and not so much the star, but I bet Yeah, like I can imagine Elton John. I mean, he's probably not even got the time of day to even sort of look at you as he walks past you, has he? I don't think.
Not really, no. And there's quite a lot like that, and especially if they're quite a newer star, and it gets to their head a little bit, they don't seem to
Yeah.
understand. Whereas like my ex-girlfriend, she was on the Rolling Stones, and is it Ronnie Wood, who's he just had a kid at the time. He just
Right.
came in the catering with his kid, and just sort of plonked himself down next to her. Hello, how are you? But just had a normal conversation.
Normal,
You know,
yeah.
because he's been around forever doing it, and he's not sort of stuck up himself sort of thing, you know.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
we're more attracted as humans, we're more attracted to people like that, aren't we? I
Oh,
think.
definitely. Yeah,
You know.
you think a lot more of people like that.
I
So,
think so.
yeah.
So, what was next for you after the gig in and all that sort of stuff?
Well, I did. Yeah, so 2006, I was then start doing a bit of the double manning work for Trans Am, just to sort of keep my name in there and get a bit of experience and so on and so forth. And I just got lucky and just started getting more and more work as such. I did my first ever trip to Russia in 2007, and that's where I wanted to go, because that's growing up seeing like Ralph Davis and Kepstos in the magazines. It was just I was just like, wow, you know. And you look at it on a map and it's just like, yeah, trucks are still going there. That's like the furthest I can go. I want to go. And 2007, Metallica. I had to go to Austria first for a show, and then it was Oslo, Stockholm, Helsinki, Moscow, and then back.
Wow.
Yeah, and I just remember being, and it's funny because every other driver there who'd obviously been to Russia, none of them wanted to go. They're like, "Oh, bloody, hope it gets cancelled, blah blah blah." And I was just like, "No way, I want to go." I was so keen and excited, and I just remember when we finally cleared customs and we got through the border, I was just like, "This is so different." It just, even though like the border's not very big, we're through. Like the scenery looks similar, but everything, all the signs are in Cyrillic, the cars look different, the cars and the vans, like the Russian built stuff. It was kind of like looking at a version of Grand Theft Auto with like a vehicle that looks like a Ford Transit, but it's not, it's a Maz, you know. It's just like a it was just, and then it started, then it's like, well, there's an English truck there, and it's like, well, no, it's not, it's left-hand drive, it's got Russian plates on it. So I had no idea loads of old English trucks got exported out, converted to left-hand drive. And because I think the first one I saw was a Matlock Transport Iveco Eurostar, but it was
Oh, really?
converted to left-hand drive on Russian plates. Just
Were they? Were they the? Was that the one that had the little plastic window at the top bunk?
that's yeah. The Eurostar was the bigger one, and then
Yeah,
there's and
that's
then there's
right.
and then there's a Eurotech as well.
That's yeah. So the Eurostar had the there was
Yeah, they
a
had a
little
window.
window. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's right. I
Yeah.
remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, off we went to Moscow, and the driving, I mean, people have probably seen the videos on YouTube and whatnot of these Russian drivers, and they just are like that. It was just insane. And I loved
Really?
every single minute of it. And I just like, I'm coming back. And I just made it very clear to the office, like, any job going to Russia, I want to go. I'm up for it. Just send me. And I just end up started going back to back. And they then start getting me a multi-entry visa. Everyone else would just get a one entry one. So also that way, if someone fell ill or anything, they could get me out there to go and take over. Or, and it was just,
Course.
oh, I was just in my element. Ukraine, Belarus a couple of times as well, and just that was mostly Moscow and St. Petersburg. But just even that, it was just, I absolutely loved it. I couldn't get enough.
That's
And it,
correct. What were the people of Russia, what were they like?
oh, friendly. Yeah, definitely friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're quite hardcore drinkers, some of them. And yeah, the furthest trip I ever did was with Sting. I did, that was four shows all in Russia. I went down to Switzerland to pick the PA up, and then up to the border through. And so started in a place called Kazan, which is 800 kilometers east of Moscow. Went from
Right.
there to Samara, then to Chelyabinsk, and then up to Ekaterinburg. And then from Ekaterinburg back to Switzerland took me a fortnight.
Jesus.
It was a week back to the border, and I actually was at, I think, 6 minutes over my 90 hours driving when I got back to Clare Brothers at Aish, because I got held up in a bit of traffic trying to get through Switzerland to their place.
Wow.
That was just that's my favorite trip ever, ever, ever. I crossed the Asian border to the Asian side of Russia, and again, I was just in my element, absolutely loving it.
That's crazy, isn't it? So is that the, did you go back several times, I assume, obviously, because they got you up the
I'll quite often go 4, 5, 6 times a year, if not more, just depending on
Wow.
how long the jobs were that I was doing and stuff. And like one particular year, I went out with, I think my, I went out with Kasabian, I think it was. I did St. Petersburg, Moscow, or it might have been Lincoln Park, St. Petersburg, Moscow, straight back. And then I tipped, reloaded, and then straight back out for Elton John for a show about just about 2 weeks before Christmas, I think it was. So yeah, just didn't even go home, just turned around, reloaded, straight back out, covering the same ground again. One more show in Moscow, straight back home for Christmas.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, I loved it.
Was it,
Absolutely loved it.
would you say that that was out of all of your driving career, out of all the different jobs, would you say that that was the best one that you've, that your best driving
Yeah.
job?
I would say so, yeah. It could be really hard work. Be under no illusion. If you're, funny enough, I've just been writing about a Deftones tour I did. I thought it was 19 shows, but I think it was only 17. So I think we did 17 shows through 23 countries. The truck did 20,000 kilometers, I think it was, and that was in 4 weeks.
Jesus.
So it's double and triple manned most of it. So yeah, like for argument's sake, I did Reading and Leeds Festival. I then drove single man down to Ashford truck stop. I got out. My mates Dave Daniels and Steve McClure got in the truck. They then took it to Paris. I flew to Tallinn, had my 45-hour break. They did Paris. They double manned up to Tallinn. Dave got out, flew home. I jumped in with Steve. We did Riga, St. Petersburg, Moscow, back to Switzerland, dropped PA off, back to Heathrow, and that was like the end of the tour. So I had the truck to myself for about 6 days in a month. The rest of the time it was,
Wow.
and like one of the early drives, we did Budapest, Bucharest overnight, which is about nearly 900K, I think it was. Then we went down to Burgas on the Black Sea. Then we double manned back up to Budapest, which was like a full on shift for us. Again, we got out. Dave got in. He did like a 9 hour drive to Warsaw to get there in time for loading, while Steve went home. I went to Germany. It was just bonkers. Absolutely bonkers, you know.
That is literally non-stop,
Yeah,
you know.
yeah, yeah. And you're trying to sleep in a black truck in the daytime, in the summertime. It's not easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not easy. And a noisy
Yeah, they
festival as well. Yeah, it can be
Yeah.
it can be incredibly hard work. But then when it is easy, it makes it so much more pleasant, and you've got time. So like some of the best tours, like I did Cirque du Soleil. I did a Cirque du Soleil, Michael Jackson, the Immortal tour. We started it in 2012. I went out in October 2012, and we finished in April 2013. We were out for 6 months, never come home. Got home, had 10 days off, went back out for 3 months on Bon Jovi. But when we're on Cirque, from January to April, we were only doing one city a week, so we were everywhere for a whole week. So
Oh, that's interesting.
yeah, so you've got all this time to go and explore and do all the sightseeing and, you know, and just really immersing yourself in, or, you know, so we'd rent a car, go off, go and look at somewhere else. Just
Yeah, of
have a
course.
while. Yeah, make the most of it. Don't just sit in the damn truck
So
getting bored.
how does the pay structure work with something like that? So obviously you are there, you are physically
Yeah, just pay for, you're paid every day you're out in the truck.
really.
Yeah, so yeah, whether you're doing like a 21-hour overnight shift, or you know, sitting about for doing nothing, you're getting paid because you're out in the truck. So
Yeah, that's amazing. That sounds like a proper rock and roll lifestyle, doesn't it? In the driving world, back, you know,
It's
that's like a.
it definitely appeals to certain people, but again, you've got to be you've either got to be single or have an extremely understanding partner. I mean, like I say, October, we went out in October. We had Christmas in Madrid. When midnight struck for New Year, I was actually driving around the Bordeaux Ring Road because we were doing the furthest ever point-to-point drive I've done. We left Madrid and we went to Kazan in Russia. That was my second time in Kazan, and that drive there was further than Ekaterinburg back to Switzerland.
Wow.
by a little bit. So, but we had 2 weeks to do it, but it was a long, long way to go.
That's some serious mileage.
Yeah.
When you arrive somewhere, we've established you don't necessarily have to help unload it and all that sort of stuff. Are the facilities there for you to use, such as a shower and stuff like that, or do you have to go off
Yes.
to like a local swimming bath or?
No, there's because generally speaking, it's an arena or a stadium. There's always toilets and showers. There's catering on most tours, so you'll get 3 meals a day. So you're fed and watered. Sometimes the caterers
Wow.
will buy your beers and stuff like that as well. You do get looked after. But then sometimes, look, the way some of the tours are getting so big, trying to get a shower became quite an issue because there's. You've, I mean, the I think the Beyonce tour was like 64 trucks or something or other. It was just
Jesus.
ridiculous. And then, so obviously, most of these changing rooms are then going to be used for various staff and whatever. So, as soon as they're
Yeah.
unloaded, they're then taken up. And then, all of a sudden, there's nowhere to get a shower. So, the really big stuff, it could become a bit of an issue.
Yeah.
I was never, I mean, although I did the U2 stuff a lot, and they were. I mean, we had 54 trucks, I think, on 360. But it was a bit like being on my own because I would unload on show day. Everyone else would load in the day before. So when I'm tipping at 8 o'clock on show day morning, there's just me and the backline guys, and there's no one else about. It was quite pleasant,
Right.
really. Yeah. So, but yeah, it was just, it was, yeah. I mean, you have that job is your life. You have no other life. You know, I've missed school,
Yeah.
so many like weddings, parties, you shows, you name it, because you're just not, especially in the summer, you're just not about.
Yeah, you're not getting home. Like if you're just doing UK stuff like what I do, if something I know is coming up, whether it be a parents' evening or, a school play or whatever, I can put that into the office and say, I need to be home on Tuesday, blah blah blah, because of it. And they'll try the hardest to get me back. You're not
No.
getting that on that job, are you?
No, definitely not. So, yeah, I need to make a dentist appointment. So, well, good luck with that, because
Yeah.
when are you going to be home?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it like I say, it was your life. It really was. But I was loving it. I absolutely loved it. What ended it for me was COVID. COVID came along. Obviously, it just stopped dead, sadly. And then I went so. Trans Am did start doing a bit of general haulage at the time, and I was one of the very first because me and my ex were asked for by name by a chap called Chris Cooper. He wanted us doing some work for him, so we're doing a little bit for him. But then that went quiet, so I then went to work for another company, and I've just never been back. All of a sudden, I've got a bit of a life, and it makes a pleasant change, really.
Well,
So.
that fast forwards me to the next question, which is, so obviously you've left there, and so moving on towards today, what is it that you're now doing? You're still in haulage, aren't you, obviously?
So not long before COVID, I started my own company for the various things that I do. So, and it just made it easier because I work for several different people. So since COVID, I've worked for at least half a dozen different companies, if not more, all
Yeah.
on an ad hoc sort of thing. And about a bit over 2 years ago, it started going really quiet. I had 3 days for MDF, and I've worked on and on for MDF for well over a decade. And they are a brilliant, brilliant company. Mark Farrow knows how to spec a truck. They're a fantastic company to work for. And if I want to go back up the road, I'll probably go and work for them. So anyway, they said, look, we've got 3 days here. Something might come up for the rest of the week. Don't know. So fair enough. So took it. Nothing else came in. So I phoned everybody I knew, and nobody had anything. So it's like, oh, right. Well, worst case, I'll just have to go on the agency next week on a fridge just to keep some money coming in.
Of
And
course.
then Eric Chapman phoned me up. Now, I'd done a bit of straw a couple of years previous for him as a holiday cover. And hello, old friend. He said, have you found any work? I was like, no, not yet. He said, right, I've just had a driver go sick. Can you cover next week? Yeah, no problem. It's like, brilliant. And that was over 2 years ago. And
And you're still there now.
I'm still there now. So they've booked me long term, and I've said, look, as long as I can still go and do a bit of a pet van work, a bit of teaching, but obviously I'm not going to get to Friday and say, oh, I can't do next week. It'll be all in advance. We'll make sure the truck's covered, and
Course.
they're happy with that. So yeah, in the in the interim, I not long after COVID, I think the lockdown had eased off a bit, I think.
Right.
I did my Transport Manager CPC because it's something I've always wanted to do. It was, oh my God, it was hard work.
That was yeah, was it? I was going to ask
Sure.
this. What
Yeah,
was
really, really difficult. Because, I mean, obviously, the driver's hours and all stuff like that, it's dead easy in it. But like maternity, legal rights, paternity, shop stewards, working out depreciation of it. Oh, it's just cool, mind blowing. It really was.
But do you think was any of it unnecessary, do you think?
No. I think you do need all of that knowledge because if you're going to run a
Yeah.
company, if you are going to have trucks and run a company, you obviously need to know your employees' rights and
Yeah, I
because
think so.
yeah, because the buck stops with you essentially.
You
Although
see.
I've never ha wanted to have a truck of my own as a haulier. I'd love to have a classic truck, but I've never thankfully wanted my name on that door.
Yeah.
I'm not that mad.
No, yeah, I could just. I know there are people out there that have done it and they've been really successful with it.
Yeah.
I think in this day and age now, with social media, a lot of them are using the name might be on the door, but they're not actually successful in haulage. They're successful in social media.
Quite possibly, yeah.
There's a little bit of a difference, isn't there?
Yeah.
Because I don't think if you was only going at it alone now in this day and age, there will be people out there doing it, but it is a money pit, isn't it?
Oh,
You know,
yeah.
you've just the costs of running a truck nowadays are just they're through the roof. You know,
Yeah.
even glass and rubber. You know, it's just you
Yeah.
know tires and windows, and it's just a it, that alone, let alone you know liquid gold and the diesel and everything else that goes with it.
That's it.
I don't think you'd be constantly having sleepless nights, wouldn't you? Worrying where the next job's coming from. It's been 90 days. I haven't been paid from that customer, and so on and so forth.
I mean, how you put up with not being paid for 90 days is beyond me. It's just, well, that's 3 months, man. What do you tell
Yeah.
me? I mean, as an aside, I have got a few owner drivers lined up for the podcast, so hopefully they would have listened to this and they'll be able to give us a bit more information. But as I've always said, anyone, especially nowadays, taking it on, I take my hat off to you because I wouldn't want to do it. It's
No.
so tough. So
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, who I did my Transport Manager course with, I ended up working as a driver trainer, teaching people how to drive trucks, which was good fun until that sort
Oh,
of.
was that? How many did you get in the truck with you, and you thought this isn't for you?
Do you know what? I never want to be a car instructor because then people have never driven, have they? But to come and
Yeah.
learn to drive a truck, they have to have passed a car test. So at least they've got a rough idea as
Yeah.
such. So I didn't really have many scary moments, to be fair. That was enjoyable. And then I sort of learned how to present driver CPC because also several years ago, I became certified open water scuba instructor. And I just found out I really enjoy sort of teaching people. I could never be like a teacher, like a school teacher. I'd hate that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just found I really enjoyed it. So I enjoy presenting CPC. I now work for a car. Well, occasionally work for a company called Martin's Driver Training in Norwich. So I'll teach CPC, but I'm also now certified to teach ADR as well. And
All right.
my specialist subject in ADR is Class 7 radioactives.
Oh, wow.
So I do not a great deal because there's obviously not a great deal
It's
of
quite, yeah, it's quite a niche market,
it's
isn't it? I
very
suppose.
niche, yeah. But with the oil field companies not far away, there's quite often consignments with radioactivity, explosives, that sort of thing. So they a lot of it like MDF. I don't know if MDF's got anyone with radioactives, but then you've got like Lubers, ASCOs, people like that who sometimes deal with it quite regular. So,
You
but
see,
obviously.
we're tying in the six fingers and webbed feet now, aren't we? It's a full circle. We've come back round.
You said that, not me. So I do a bit of that mixed in with the driving, and yeah, the pet van. I sort of went back up the road in a van delivering people's pets all across
So what's
Europe.
this? Obviously, people will have seen this on your social media and things like that. What's that like with the what's the setup there? Is obviously because you're in a van, so you need to be in hotels, and you've got the pets and things like that. What's give
Yeah.
us a day in the life of moving pets?
So, for argument's sake, you'll collect out of Heathrow's Ark, the Animal Reception Centre. Off you go to wherever. So, you sort of just stop fairly regularly, just give them a quick welfare check. If it's a dog, I'll just get them out, see if see if they want a wee, quick stroll about, put them back in. If it's cats, I tend to just try and get to the other end as quick as you can, because obviously you can't take a cat out, and I'd rather that the sooner they're back with their owner, the better, basically. But yeah, it's a fantastic job. I absolutely love it. But I was just away again all the time, so that's why I sort of went. I've just gone back to sort of just part time, really, on that, because now I've got a social life and a home life. I sort of didn't want to lose it all again. So yeah, and same with Trans Am. There's elements of that job that I really miss, but then there's elements of it that I really don't miss. And it's just changed. It's just really changed. And the whole 91-80 days is going to be interesting to see what happens this year. But yeah, I sort of spoke to a mate of mine who's there, and he said, like, just stay where you are, what you're doing, because it's so easy, and you won't enjoy it as much as you come back. So, oh, fair enough. But I do keep occasionally thinking, maybe just go and do one job. But it's just like,
It's in your blood, isn't it now?
yeah,
It's in your
it's.
blood, and you're always going to have that little yearn to want to go back to it.
Yeah, and I think if I didn't have the pet van stuff doing European, then I'd really struggle with missing it. But because I do that, I go to Greece every July with two dogs, which is just a fantastic trip. I've done that 4 years on the trot now, I think it is. So I know that's coming up. And then I go to Munich and pick them back up in August. So yeah, I've sort of got my little routine really for the year, pretty much.
And that's just keeping your foot in the door as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
I
that's
suppose.
it. That's scratching that itch just a little bit, So yeah, now I'm working for Chapman's, and I go to Red Lodge or I go to King's Lynn, and that's it. I don't go. I tell a lie. I sometimes go to Snetterton as well, and that's it. I don't go anywhere else.
we had this discussion earlier. So, why don't you tell the listeners, Matt, how many hours did you do today?
Well, I had a bit of a busy day today. I was in at 7:15, and I was done at 11. Because there's only one job to do, and that's that. So once you're done, you can go home.
That is crazy, isn't
That's
it?
mad. It's mad, and it's
So
just so.
you've gone from traveling all over the world into the deepest, darkest parts of Russia for some of the biggest stars on the planet, and now you sort of roll in at 7 o'clock in the morning and you're home for 11.
Yeah, home for me 11sies. 6 months away, to not even 6 hours in a truck. Although, in my defence, I proved last week that I do still have it in me, because I did a almost 9 hour drive for a different company on the Friday. So,
One 9 hour drive.
one 9 hour drive. Yeah, I just still got it.
Right, so we've got to ask, this is a question that we've got to ask because everybody knows how passionate you are about trucks, from your model collecting, from your pictures, your vast array of knowledge right across the board, across all the different makes and models and years of trucks. So the two questions are, what is your favorite truck, and B is, what is the worst truck?
Favorite truck would probably be the Volvo F16. Just iconic powerhouse that I'm fortunate enough that I've got two friends with two of them, that they let me take them to shows as and when. So I get to have a drive in one of these things. Probably the favorite truck that I've had as a driver, working wise, I had a DAF XF 105 on for Trans Am, which is an 05, but AY05, was it? Yeah, BJJ, I think, was mine. And the one with the big long window at the top. Yeah, and I love that truck. Absolutely love 16 speed ZF box, lovely gearbox, loads of comfort, loads of space, went everywhere in it, obviously. So either that one, or I had a 106, I had an 09 XF after that, because I'm looking at a picture of it now at the Turkish border, funnily enough. In fact, that might be my favourite one, because I had a light bar two Michelin men put on the roof as well. That was first truck for That was my first brand new truck ever, that 09. That's probably my favourite, and because it's my first brand new truck ever, I'd always wanted Michelin men and some spotlights on the roof. And so I asked if I could have it done, and they let me, so I paid had it done. And so I think that's probably my favourite truck that I've ever
That's your favorite.
driven. I
But
reckon.
can we have you if can you Will you put that on the Instagram page, maybe even the TikTok, so that people can see what we're talking about? That'd be great.
Can do. Yeah, that truck now is or was in Ukraine. It got exported, and a friend of mine sent me a picture of it on Ukrainian plates. That's
Really?
definitely my truck. So
Wow.
that's where that's ended. As for worst truck, I would probably say,
Don't you dare say, don't you dare say Magnum.
The truck that I have least enjoyed driving, as more maybe a more diplomatic way of putting it, is probably the Renault Premium, I reckon.
Yeah.
I've never found them comfortable, badly laid out. I mean, I drive a T-Range now, and I'm not keen on that. The biggest bugbear for me with the T-Range, which they've improved with the newer ones that they have, because I've been in one,
Yeah.
the lack of angle of adjustment on the steering wheel. It
Totally
just
agree with
yeah, it just will not come. It's like driving a Routemaster bus.
you. Yeah, it's like having a dinner plate laid out in front of you, isn't it? You just can't quite get that tilt on it, can you?
No, exactly. But the newer ones, they have improved that. So
Yeah.
yeah,
Yeah.
I mean, admittedly, mine is a very basic fleet spec truck. It's not, it's a pusher axle, which I don't like. I've never liked pusher axles. I don't particularly like twin steers. I'd rather have a tag, although they can be blooming uncomfortable to drive. Ideally, a 4x2, but I could get away with a 4x2 at work with what I do. I wouldn't
With what you're
need.
pulling,
Yeah, I don't pull the weight, so I could get away with a 4x2. So
yeah.
that'd be nice. So
See that I've had a bit of experience with the T range as well. The earlier stuff, yeah, you are right with that. But then the T, I also have driven a T high range that was quite reasonably new.
so they're a lot better, aren't they, apparently, from what I'm told.
Yeah, they're unbelievably better. Yeah,
Yeah.
so it's like they're very similar to the Volvo. Well, actually, I suppose they are owned by Volvo. Volvo now own Renault, don't they? So, but inside, and like the running gear, the mechanisms, the steering column, and everything, the adjustments
Yeah.
are all very similar. They're very sort of, even down to the sort of like each click with the steering column is very, very similar to the Volvo, which is obviously what I'm in now, the new Aero. But yeah, secretly, I quite like, and this makes me want to be a little bit sick in my mouth when I say this, but secretly, I quite like the T high range.
Well, a mate of mine who's been a Scania man through and through for donkey's years, is he, or is he Volvo? I should have checked that, really. No, he's definitely Scania. But his company have just bought a whole load of brand new T highs, and he loves it. He says it's a
Yeah.
really, really good truck, and it probably is. Now, also, I will point out, in defence of Renault, just because I just think about this. I cannot remember the last time I've driven an Iveco. So I drove Astralis around a truck parking area in Denmark because it was a Link
Yeah.
one, so I could see what that was like. But I haven't, and that was a knock across box. But I haven't driven like an S-Way or really Astralis on the road. So yeah, incredibly, I've managed to avoid Ivecos. So.
Well, you're not missing anything.
Well, there. So they could potentially that could potentially be a contender, but I don't know. I mean, some people absolutely love them, but I mean, I know a friend of mine had a demonstrator one, brand spanking new, and I think it broke down 3 times in the 2 weeks they had it. It's just the end quality, I think, is letting it down.
I think so. I mean, my only experience with an Iveco, I used one. It was not demo, but I think because I had a DAF at the time, that had gone in for some work to be done, and they replaced it with this Iveco for like maybe less, just less than a week.
Yeah.
But it was the one where it didn't have a bunk as we know it. It was the one where the passenger seat was set back right against the back wall of the cab.
Right.
And then in the centre, there was a drop-down table.
Right.
And behind the driver's seat, there was also like a little stool. if you like, with a backrest up against the side of the cab. So essentially, you could sit somebody at the passenger side, somebody at the driver's side, both facing each other, facing inwards, with a drop-down table in the middle. So if you there was no passenger seat where a passenger seat would normally be, so that was all open space. It was absolutely huge, this thing. And then there was a drop-down top bunk. So essentially, you had a living area at the bottom, and then a, like your bedroom up top. And it, the concept of it was absolutely fantastic, but it was just made so cheap that nothing really worked the way that it should. You know? So like the table that dropped down was like really flimsy and weak. The passenger seat, you could move your backrest from the back of the cab to the side of the cab, but it was just sort of like velcroed on, and it was just like, just a bit like, is that safe? You know, like not really sure about that. But yeah, so
Interesting.
they did have the and I didn't like they had so this is all supposed to be about you, this podcast, and it's me rattling on about Ivecos.
That
But they had buttons on the dashboard for the gear selector, and that just felt, I don't know, I felt like a bus driver, you know?
there's a Volvo FH version like that as well. I think it's a fuel efficient one or something, and it threw me to start with because I got in and was like, where's the I shift gone? And I mean, luckily I could still see it because I got in a subsequent one, and obviously where someone's been pressing drive that much, it's rubbed the D off. So it's only because I knew that's where it was I could put the thing in. And I did have a mate of mine phone me up once because he had one. He's like, I've got in this truck. He's like, where the hell are the gears? I was like, aha, I'll tell you. Strange old concept.
Yeah, strange. But if you, I mean, we're sort of covering ground here that we could cover in other podcasts. But the Renault Magnum, going back, my first truck, loved it. But going back, they also did the same sort of concept. I don't know if you ever came across that, where there was no bottom bunk as such. It was seats and a table and things like
I know they did something like that in the premium as well, didn't they? With like a
They did
chaise
like a
longue sort of.
challenge. I never came across that. I never saw one of those, but
I can't remember if I did or not, to be honest.
no.
I'm not too
Do you
sure.
know how how bizarre this is? We was just this exact same conversation that me and you were having now, that's completely unplanned. I was having this exact same conversation. Even the word, what was it, challenge or whatever, however they
Chaise
pronounce it.
lounge,
Even that word was mentioned with the premium today on the app. That, how crazy is that? And now we're sat in that same conversation. I feel like that's a good, I feel like that's a good moment actually to give the app a little plug. How do you feel about that?
Why not?
So me and Matt actually met on a app.
Not grinder.
that's sounds
Before
this is going
anyone says it.
this is going Don't clip that and put that onto TikTok, whatever you do. So we met on an app called CB Talk, and the best way to describe it is if you imagine back in the day that all lorry drivers would have had traditional CBs in their cabs. This is essentially a new digital version of that. So this is completely free to download. You can download the app onto Android and iOS. Just type in CB Talk. Once you've downloaded it, it'll ask for a few bits and pieces, your name, your telephone number, and that sort of thing. Once you're actually on the homepage of that app and it opens up, it will look like a CB interface, and you can select and find different channels. The beauty of this is that you can talk to anybody, anywhere, all over the world. So it's not like an old CB, is it, Matt, where you would
No, we run out of range.
you get 5, 10 minutes maybe, if that, wouldn't you? And that was it, you was running out of range. And so there are various different channels. Some of them are rowdy, some of them are quiet, some of them are, it's, you've got to find where you are and what you like out of your day. But the channel that we use every day and that we talk on every day is called GBR Truck. So you're welcome to pop onto there, download the app, pop into GBR Truck, and you're welcome to come and say hello.
Jim's on there as well, we should add as well, because it was
Yeah, that's right.
Jim put me onto it.
Yeah. Yeah, Jim's on there as well, so you can have a chat with Jim, you can have a chat with me. Matt's on there quite often, and you'll just
When I've got signal.
when you've got a signal, I just went through Thetford Forest, boy.
Yeah, see you later.
But yeah, so yeah, but you're more than welcome to come on. And just to give you a little bit more of a background on that, you can buy a mic, like a traditional CB mic. It's a Bluetooth mic that connects to the app, so it's exclusive. You have to buy that one mic for it to work. But then, as you're driving along, you can use the PTT button and talk along and chat away as you would normally on a traditional mic.
Yeah, it's all good fun, isn't
So,
it?
yeah, it's brilliant. And we've made so many friends. Like we all meet up, we all have coffee, we're all out on the road. It's a real good community to be part of, I
Oh, yeah,
think.
definitely.
So my next question, Matt, I've took up too much time there rattling on about myself. This is all supposed to be about Matt, and I'm supposed
That's
to
all
be as
right.
Morgan. So we're going to start sort of wrapping it up a little bit now. We will get more out of you in other future podcasts, obviously. So what I want to ask you is, what advice could you give to new drivers that you wish that you had when you first started out?
I think the best piece of advice to a new driver is never be afraid to ask, especially directions or ask for help, especially reversing if you're new to it and you're unsure. Because I don't think I've ever asked anybody for help and someone's told me no. So just don't think you've got to try and do it in front of other people. If you're unsure, just ask. I mean, I'll still ask if I think I need a hand, like reversing or something like that. I'll go and ask. And weirdly, the Eastern Europeans seem the best at jumping out to help before you've even asked. They're out there watching you. They've got a lot of camaraderie still about them. So never be afraid to ask. And there is no such thing as a silly question, really.
No,
So,
I always think that if you're trying to get in somewhere that's a little bit tight, and don't be afraid to get out and walk to the back of the trailer and have a look if you're not sure, because
Doesn't hurt. Takes 2 seconds.
yeah, absolutely.
Saves a bit of damage. And
So
also, don't do blooming U-turns unless it's absolutely necessary. 3-point turn the truck. That's Save them tires.
yeah, and lines.
Yes. Yeah,
There's
exactly.
nothing worse than a baggy line. There's
Yeah.
nothing worse than coupling up to a trailer and it's all stretched out and covered in grease. And,
Yeah,
oh.
absolutely.
So what's next for Matt? What's on the horizon?
Well, to be honest, as you and quite a lot will know, I've written 2 books so far. I am working on more, and what I'm working on is on a ferry called the Zenobia, which sank off of Cyprus. So I'm going diving in June for some research on that because I'm really keen to get that one wrapped up and out. But otherwise, I'll stick with Chapman's as long as they need me. Just sort of keep plodding along with them and mixing it up with a few other people because I still love driving. I still love being out there. So I've got no intention of packing up, that's for certain. I've got my medical this year, my first medical, I believe, because I'm now 45. And I'm just going to just keep, hopefully, keep this rolling with any luck. I had quite a few people say to me before the truck and drive one ended, you should start your own. It just always seemed wrong, because I was just part of that, but obviously that's all now gone. So and we've had a fair bit of good feedback so far, so hopefully we're
I
doing
think
something right.
there's definitely a calling for it, I think, mate. I think you've definitely got the right audience that want to sit and listen to you. So why not?
Absolutely. So other than that, I don't really know what the future, hopefully no big surprises, but we shall see.
So what about the books? When will they be available? Where will people be able to find them?
So my latest book is A History of Kepso Freight. You can buy that direct from the publishers, who are Pen and Sword. So just Google Pen and Sword Publishers. My first book is You Call We Haul, The Life and Times of Bob Carter. That's been out 8 years or so now. Sadly, the publisher who bought it out got bought out. And now if you buy new, it's basically sold through Amazon, which is a shame. So you can get them there. And hopefully, if you haven't bought a copy, please do. And then hopefully, I'm with Pen and Sword now. They seem really good and they're keen. So I just need to get writing and get some stuff out there, basically. So, yeah.
As well as trying to record podcasts and
First
do
one,
a
record podcast.
3 hour job as well, and you know, all the
Diving and swimming and going to truck shows and
CPC courses and everything else.
yeah, absolutely.
Maintaining them webbed feet.
Yeah, all the socials. Yeah.
So where can people find you, Matt?
So I'm on Facebook. Obviously, the podcast has got a group on there. I'm on TikTok as well at Truck Diver. And then obviously, the podcast has got its own channel. And I'm on Instagram as Truck Diver 1981, I believe. And the podcast obviously got a page on there as well.
Fabulous stuff.
And I've got YouTube, which is Suffolk Matt Ireland, Matt with one T. Yeah, but there's a whole old catalogue of my trips, especially to Russia and whatnot. I basically started doing vlogs many moons ago, really, so my mum, when she was alive, could see what I was up to. And it
Oh,
just sort of grew from there, really. Don't do as many
lovely.
now, because obviously there's only so many times you can film going to Red Lodge and King's Lynn before it gets monumentally boring. So I've kind of slowed down an awful lot on that, which is a shame, but just that's just part of the job. So if I go off and do something else with somebody for a little bit, I try and do a little bit of footage just to keep the channel going.
That's brilliant. Just say the name of the channel again one more time.
Suffolk Matt Island.
Fabulous stuff. Matt, it's been an absolute pleasure, mate. We're
Yeah.
going to wrap this up, but that
Yes, mate.
was
I've really enjoyed
very
it.
interesting. Me
Yeah.
too. And obviously, this isn't the end. This is
Oh, no.
the beginning. So
Yes.
people are going to hear a lot more stories and things that develop, especially when there's more of us in a room, me, you, Jim, and other guests that are lined up to come on. But
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
what a pleasure to be able to interview you and listen to your little life story.
Yeah, no, I've really enjoyed it, mate. Yeah, it's been great fun.
Me too, mate. Me too. So just to remember that it's Matt's Trucking Great podcast, and you can find this podcast on all platforms, including Spotify.
Brilliant.
All
Thank you
right,
very
bud.
much. Lovely.